people are his workers. Is that good or against him?
They follow the truth. That is an extremely important principle that we need to remember. That is what the Muslim should be upon. Following the truth wherever it is. Not just adhering to his own personal view, but only the view of his own group. Whether it's right or wrong, not caring whether it's the truth, backed by evidence or not. Likewise, we had the important point that the blood of a Muslim is forbidden to shed. Forbidden to shed the blood of a Muslim. And it can only be shed, as occurs in the authentic hadith, in one of three cases: that he is a murderer, and therefore he is executed, a life for a life, the murderer, he is executed, his life is taken for the life that he has taken. Or an adulterer, previously married, a person who is married or has previously been married and commits fornication, zina, then he is stoned to death. Or the case of one who was a Muslim and then he leaves Islam, he becomes an apostate, and he is executed for his apostasy. So they are the cases when the blood of one who is a Muslim becomes lawful to shed. Those three cases. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan adds some further points. He mentioned the example of the Khawarij and the rebels, those who rebel against the Muslim rulers and who attack the Muslims. Then they are to be fought against. And they are fought against not because they become disbelievers and they're to be killed for becoming disbelievers. Rather, they are fought against to repel their evil, to stop their evil, and to stop their attacks upon the Muslims. And he likewise mentioned the example of someone who tries to kill you. A Muslim, he's a Muslim, but he tries to kill you for some reason or another. Or a Muslim, he tries to rob you. Then you are allowed to defend yourself, defend your property, defend your family and your wealth, to defend that. Don't let him steal your wealth. Don't let him dishonor your family and the like. Repel him. To repel that evil. And repel him in the lightest manner. And if he cannot be repelled except by you ending up killing him, then if that has to happen, then his blood shed, his blood has been spilled, and there's no problem with that. You don't seek to deliberately kill him, you just try and stop his oppression. Stop his attack and the like. And likewise, Shaykh al-Fawzan ended up with the point that we do not support or aid the people of fitna, the people of discord, the people who take part in infighting between the Muslims for the sake of this world. We don't aid any of them. We don't assist them. We don't hold any of them to be correct. We don't lean to one side and support this side against that side when they're fighting for this world. And we likewise do not support and aid those people who let off bombs and cause destruction. Cause destruction to people, blowing people indiscriminately up. We do not support such people. We don't aid them. We don't take part in it. And especially those who say this is jihad, what they're doing, they call it jihad in Allah's cause. These evildoers, they call it jihad in Allah's cause. We do not agree with their view. We don't aid them. We don't support them at all. We don't bring about our own destruction by even supporting them. As the Sheikh said, even people who don't actually take part with them, it's sufficient that you aid them, give support to them, or even that you just agree with their view, that what they're doing is correct. If you do that, then your sin will be the same as their sin. Whatever sin they gain in blowing innocent people up, destroying people, destroying property and all that, their sin, your sin will be the same, because you agreed with them. At the very least, you agreed with them. So you participated along with them, and you will be participating in the same sin as they are. So we ask Allah to keep us free of that and the like of that. Then Imam Al-Bara Bahari, rahimahullah, he continues on what occurs here as point number 115, volume 2, page 115, point number 115, that Imam Al-Bara Bahari, rahimahullah, he said, وَأَقِلَّهْ مِنَ النَّظْرِ فِي النُّجُومِ إِلَّا مَا تَسْتَعِينُ بِهِ عَلَى مَوَاقِيتِ الصَّلَاةِ وَالْهَ عَمَّا سِوَى ذَلِكَ فَإِنَّهُ يَدْعُو إِلَى الزَّنْدَقَةِ. Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he said, look into the stars sparingly. Look into the stars only a small amount. Look into the stars sparingly. just enough to help you to know the times of the prayer and turn away from whatever is besides that, since it invites to apostasy. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, he said in explanation, looking into the stars falls into two categories. The first category, he said, is using them to indicate events that take place upon the earth. And it is what is called ilm al-ta'thir, literally the knowledge of effects, which is referred to in English as astrology. Literally, ilm al-ta'thir, the knowledge of effects. The Shaykh said, such as the blowing of the winds, and the descent of rainfall, and illnesses occurring, and the death of so-and-so, or the life of so-and-so. So this is forbidden astrology. It's tamjim, which is muharram. Stargazing, which is forbidden. Forbidden, which is astrology. He said, and this is like the action of the people of Nimrud, those people who used to worship idols, which they had made in the image of planets. And they started to then worship them, because they believed that the stars had an effect upon events. And they believed that the stars and planets had an effect upon events upon the earth. He said, and they did not ascribe it to Allah, the Majestic and Most High. In effects, what happened up on the earth, they didn't ascribe that, what happened, to Allah, the Most High. Rather, they ascribed it to stars and planets. So therefore, he said, they made images upon their form, and they began worshipping, and they began worshipping them besides Allah. So therefore, Allah sent his Khalil, his specially beloved one, alayhi salam, meaning Ibrahim alayhi salam. Therefore, Allah sent his specially beloved one, alayhi salam, and he rebuked them. He called them to the tawheed of Allah. He called them to singling out Allah with all worship. And he said to them, مَا هَذِهِ التَّمَاثِيلُ الَّتِي أَنْتُمْ لَهَا عَاكِفُونَ Surah Anbiya, Ayah 52, with the explanation, what are these idols that you are devoting yourselves to? Shaykh said, so this is the forbidden astrology, and is kufr, disbelief, and shirk. So at Tanjim, astrology, as Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said, is to use the movements of the stars and planets to indicate events upon the earth. In the footnote they mention, this reference occurs in Majmu' al-Fatawa, volume 35, page 192. In the forbidden type of looking to the stars, that which is astrology, tanjim, that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said it is, defining it, to use the movements of stars and planets to indicate events upon the earth. Shaykh Fawzan said, this is the forbidden astrology. He said, just as is published today in some magazines and in some newspapers which do not adhere to the regulations of the religion, on the page of astrology and horoscopes, and such as palm reading and tea leaf reading and the like of that. All of this is from the actions of the devils and from the tricksters and magicians. And this is kufr. This is disbelief in Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. We ask Allah for afiyah, for safety and security. Amen. So that's the first category of looking into the stars that Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned, the forbidden type. Looking into them and trying to derive from the places and positions of, and movements of stars and planets that certain events will occur upon the earth. That's the forbidden type, that's astrology. Then the chef mentioned the second type. He said, the second category, which is ilm al-tasyir, literally knowledge of the movement, the knowledge of the movement of the stars and planets, which they classify as a branch of astronomy. The chef said, it is what is called ilm al-tasyir, knowledge of the movements of the celestial bodies, such that you gain awareness of the stations of the moon, stations or stages of the moon, and you gain awareness of the course of the sun throughout the year, with the intent of gaining awareness of the appointed times, the mawaqit, appointed times, the times for planting and for crops, and the times for the prayer, the time of dhuhr being such and such, and the time for asr being such and such, then this, there is no harm in it. He the Most High said, وَقَدَّرَهُ مَنَازِلُ. First part of the ayah, Surah Yunus, the 10th surah, ayah 5, with the explanation, and He, Allah the Most High, He decreed for it stations or stages, Sheikh Fawzan said, meaning the moon. Allah the Most High decreed for the moon certain stations, stages that it passes through. لِتَعْلَمُوا عَدَدَ السِّنِينَ وَالْحِسَابِ. Surah Yunus, same surah, ayah 5, with the explanation. And He decreed for it, the moon, stations or stages, so that you may know the number of the years and reckoning. Then Shaykh Fawzan said, and he said, وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ آيَتَيْنِ فَمَحَوْنَا آيَةَ اللَّيْلِ وَجَعَلْنَا آيَةَ النَّهَارِ مُبْصِرَةً لِتَبْتَغُوا فَضْلًا مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَلِتَعْلَمُوا عَدَدَ السَّنِينَ وَالْحِسَابِ وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ فَصَّلْنَاهُ تَفْصِيلًا. Surah Al-Isra, the 17th surah, ayah 12, with the explanation. And we made the night and the day as two signs. So we take away the sign of the night and put in its place the sign of the day, shining brightly, so that you may seek the bounty of your Lord, and so that you may know the number of the years and reckoning. وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ فَصَّلْنَاهُ تَفْصِيلًا. And we have fully explained everything. Surah Al-Isra, 17th surah, ayah 12. And the Shaykh said, and he said, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَهِلَّةِ قُلْ هِيَ مَوَاقِيتُ لِلنَّاسِ وَالْحَجِّ. Surah Al-Baqarah, the 2nd surah, ayah 189. With the explanation, they ask you about the crescent moons. Say, they are signs to mark fixed periods of time for mankind and for the Hajj. Sheikh Fawzan said, so ilm al-tasyir, knowledge of the movement, knowledge of the movement of the planets and stars, that branch of astronomy. He said, so knowledge of the movement, there is no harm in it, because it contains benefits, and it does not contain any evil belief. The two categories of looking into the stars, the first one, looking into them and holding they have an effect upon the earth, astrology, that this is forbidden, and the second one, looking into the movements of the stars and planets to gain awareness of the appointed times for crops and the appointed times for crops, appointed times for the prayers. As the Sheikh said, there's no harm in this because it contains points of benefit and it does not contain any evil belief. Then he said, as for ilm al-ta'thir, astrology, knowledge of claiming that there is an effect, which is to use the stars as evidence for anything else, then this is forbidden, this is haram, this is forbidden, and it is shirk. Using them as evidence for people's fortunes, and for calamities, and for good and evil. This is shirk along with Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. And therefore, Qatada said, he quotes from the famous Tabi'i, Qatada ibn Di'ama, rahimahullah, he said, therefore Qatada said, خلق الله النجوم لثلاث زينة للسماء ورجوما للشياطين وعلامات يقتدى بها فمن طلب فيها غير ذلك فقد ضل وأضاء نصيبه وتكلف ما لا علم له به. Qatada said, Allah created the stars for three purposes: as an adornment for the sky, and as missiles to be hurled at the devils, and as signs for guidance upon the way. So whoever seeks from them other than that, then he has gone astray, and he has lost his portion of good, and he has taken on that which he has no knowledge of. In the footnote, they mention this report from the saying of Qatada, rahimahullah, is reported by al-Bukhari in his Sahih in disconnected form, in the book of the beginning of creation, reported in disconnected form by al-Bukhari, and reported in connected form by Ibn Jarir al-Tabari in his Tafsir, Ibn Abi Hatim in his Tafsir, Abu Shaykh in his book al-Azama, and others besides whom he mentions. Then Shaykh Fawzan concluded and said, so Allah has made the stars for three points of benefit. The first point of benefit is as an adornment for the sky. As an adornment or decoration for the sky. He said, He the Most High said, وَزَيَّنَّ السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِمَصَابِيحَ Surah Fussilat, Ayah 12. With the explanation, and we adorned the sky of this world with lamps, meaning with the stars, as lamps. And the Shaykh said the second point of benefit is as missiles to strike the devils. He the Most High said, إِلَّا مَنِ اسْتَرَقَ السَّمْعَ فَأَتْبَعَهُ شِهَابٌ مُّبِينٌ Surah Al-Hijr, the 15th Surah, Ayah 18, with the explanation, except for one, referring to the jinn, the devils from the jinn, except for one who seeks to listen by stealth, then he will be pursued by a clear burning flame, a shooting star that shot at him. And the Shaykh mentions, Shaykh Fawzan, the third point of benefit is signs by means of which people take directions upon journeys. He said, He the Most High said, وَهُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ النُّجُومَ لِتَهْتَدُوا بِهَا فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ Surah Al-An'am, the 6th Surah, Ayah 97. With the explanation, and He, Allah, is the one who made for you stars, so that you may be guided by means of them in the darkness of the land and the ocean. The Shaykh said, so these are the points of benefit from the stars. But as for the one who believes that they have an effect upon events, and that the rising of such and such star is a time indicating bliss, and the rising of the second one is a time of wretchedness, then this is kufr. This is disbelief in Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. He the Most High said, فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِمَوَاقِئِ النُّجُومِ وَإِنَّهُ لَقَسَمٌ لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عَظِيمٌ إِنَّهُ لَقُرْآنٌ كَرِيمٌ فِي كِتَابٍ مَكْنُونٌ لَا يَمَسُّهُ إِلَّا الْمُطَهَّرُونَ تَنْزِيلٌ مِنْ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ أَفَبِ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَنْتُمْ مُدْهِنُونَ وَتَجْعَلُونَ رِزْقَكُمْ أَنَّكُمْ تُكَذِّبُونَ Surah Al-Waqi'ah, the 56th Surah, Ayahs 75 to 82, with the explanation. So I swear by the places of setting of the stars, And it is, if only you knew, a tremendous oath. Indeed, it is an honourable Qur'an. In a guarded book, it is not touched except by the angels, rendered pure. It is revelation sent down from the Lord of the whole of creation. So is it this speech that you disbelievers deny? And instead of the thanks which you should give for Allah's favours upon you, you instead deny and reject them. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, especially explained this last ayah, Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, meaning, you ascribe rizq, you ascribe provision to the stars and to their rising and their setting. وَتَجْعَلُونَ رِزْقَكُمْ أَنَّكُمْ تُكَذِّبُونَ. Sheikh said, meaning that you ascribe provision that you receive from Allah, you ascribe the provision to the stars and to their rising and setting. And he said, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he led his companions in the dawn prayer at Al-Hudaybiyah, close to Mecca. He led them in the Fajr prayer at Al-Hudaybiyah after it had rained during the night. And then he sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he turned away from his prayer, and when he finished, turned away, as occurs in the Hadith Qudsi. And he said, as occurs in the Hadith Qudsi, قال الله تعالى أصبح من عبادي مؤمن وكافر فأما من قال مطرنا بفضل الله ورحمته فذلك مؤمن بي وكافر بالكوكب وأما من قال مطرنا بنوع كذا وكذا فذلك كافر بي ومؤمن بالكوكب. The Prophet ﷺ reported, the Hadith Qudsi reported, saying, Allah the Most High said, from my servants, some have entered the morning as believers, and some as disbelievers. So whoever said, we received rain from the favour of Allah and His mercy, then that one is a true believer in me, and a disbeliever in the star. And whoever said, we received rain through such and such star, and such, then that one is a disbeliever in me, and a believer in the star. In the footnote, they mention this hadith is reported by Bukhari in his Sahih and by Muslim, from a hadith of Zayd ibn Khalid radiallahu anhu. You'll find it in the Sahih of Al-Bukhari as Hadith 846, and reported by Muslim, as it mentions here, as Hadith number 71. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, so rainfall is not from the effects of the stars, their rising and their setting. Rather, the rain is only sent down by Allah, the Majestic and Most High. He is the one who sends it down, and who ordains it and sends it forth, and who withholds it if he wishes. He the Most High said, وَهُوَ الَّذِي يُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا قَنَطُوا وَيَنْشُرُ رَحْمَتَهُ. Surah Ash-Shura, the 42nd Surah, Ayah 28, with the explanation, He Allah is the one who sends down the rain after the people have despaired of its descending, and He spreads His mercy. Likewise, Sheikh Fawzan said, and He said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتُ. Surah Al-Qumam, the 31st Surah, Ayah 34, with the explanation, with Allah is the knowledge of the hour, and He sends down the rainfall, and He knows what is within the wombs, and no soul knows what it will earn tomorrow, and no soul knows in which land it will die. Sheikh Fawzan said, five matters are not known except to Allah. In the five matters mentioned in this ayah, five matters are not known except to Allah. And from them is the sending down of the rain. No one knows it except Allah, the Perfect and Most High. So the person who ascribes it to other than Allah is a mushrik. It's a person of shirk. That's where Sheikh Ghazan, hafidhullah, he ends the explanation of this point. Then on the same point, Sheikh Ahmad al-Najmi, rahimahullah, he said, I say, looking into the stars and learning knowledge with regard to the stars is divided into two categories. Firstly, ilmu tasyir, knowledge of the stellar or planetary movements, which is knowledge by means of which the stations of the moon are known, and the times for growing crops, and the like of that. And this is permissible. And he mentions the second one, ilm ta'thir, knowledge of effects. He said, and this is what is said by the stargazers, that the stars have an effect upon events upon the earth, and whatever that comprises, or whatever is comprised from that, in the books of misguidance, such as the book Shamsul Ma'arif and Abu Ma'shar al-Falaki, and other than that, whose authors say, whoever gets married on such and such night, at such and such point relative to the conjunction of the moon, and whoever travels on such and such night, he will attain such and such. The Sheikh said, and this contains kufr, disbelief, and major shirk, because it is mixed with charms and with seeking aid from the jinn, and all of that is shirk and kufr. And engaging in matters of the ilm al-ghayb, knowledge of the hidden and the unseen. And knowledge of the hidden and unseen is for Allah alone. He does not allow anyone to have knowledge of the hidden and the unseen, except for a messenger whom he is pleased with. And there occurs in the narration of Qatada, rahmahullah, that he said, then he mentions the report that we already had from Qatada, the purpose behind the creation of the stars, the benefits of the stars. And then he said, so ilmul ghayb, knowledge of the hidden and the unseen, and effects upon the creation, and specifying decreed events that Allah has written in the preserved tablet. And he informed that the knowledge of the hidden and the unseen is with him alone, and that all the decreed measures of the creation are decreed by his will. So whoever claims that the stars have an effect upon the life of a person, then he has left Islam, and he has committed major kufr, which makes it certain that he will remain forever in the fire and be prevented from paradise. He said, Allah the Most High said, وَقَالَ الْمَسِيحُ يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ رَبِّي وَرَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارُ وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنْصَارٍ. Surah Ma'idah, the fifth surah, ayah 72, with the explanation. And the Messiah, Isa, alayhi salam, he said to the children of Israel, worship Allah, my Lord and your Lord. Whoever commits shirk with Allah, or associates others in worship with Allah, then Allah has made paradise forbidden for him. And his destination, his resting place, will be the fire. And the wrongdoers will have no helper. Sheikh Ahmad said, finishing, so what's obligatory upon the Muslim is that he is one who follows that which the Prophet ﷺ came with. Believing, having iman, believing that Allah is in control of the creation. He, the Lord of the whole of creation. No one else besides him. And Allah is the one who grants success. And likewise, just before moving on, then some of the footnotes in some of the versions of Al-Barbahari, they bring a hadith that's relevant here, which is the hadith reported by Abu Dawood as hadith 3905. Hadith declared Hassan, good by Shaykh al-Albani, as narrated from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah, who said, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man iqtabasa ilman min al-nujum, iqtabasa shu'batan min al-sihr, zad ma zad. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever learns knowledge of astrology, then he learns a branch of sorcery, sihr. The more he increases, then the more that will increase. Then Imam Al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he brings a further point, that's numbered here as point number 116. And he said, وَإِيَّاكَ وَالنَّظَرْ فِي الْكَلَامِ وَالْجُلُوسَ إِلَىٰ أَصْحَابِ الْكَلَامِ. And beware of looking into rhetorical theology, al-kalam, and of sitting with the people of rhetorical theology, kalam. Sheikh of Azam, hafidhullah, said in explanation, he's saying, وَإِيَّاكَ وَالنَّظَرَ فِي الْكَلَامِ, and beware of looking into kalam, rhetorical theology, he said. It is obligatory to act upon the book and the sunnah, and that which the Salaf al-Salih, the pious predecessors, were upon, with regard to creed and belief, i'tiqad, and with regard to deeds, and with regard to behaviour. This is the sound and correct methodology. And whoever leaves aside the methodology of the righteous predecessors, in belief, or in anything else, and who goes along with the ulama al-kalam, with the scholars of kalam, rhetorical theology, those people who affirm matters of creed and belief based upon principles of logic and upon rhetorical theology and of jadal, polemics, the science of argumentation, and upon initial assertions and conclusions of arguments, which they call intellectual proofs, she has said, then this is misguidance in Aqidah. This is misguidance in creed and belief. And is misguidance in derivation of proof. And Allah has rendered us free of any need of ilm al-kalam, rhetorical theology, and of anything else. He has rendered us free of any need for that, with that which he sent down to his messenger from the book and the sunnah. So therefore there is no good except within the book and the sunnah, particularly in matters of aqidah, creed and belief, which is the fundamental basis and is the foundation. So therefore we do not base our aqidah, our creed and belief, except upon the proofs of the book and the sunnah. We do not build them upon the principles of logic and upon rhetorical theology. So the speech of the scholars regarding kalam, rhetorical theology, and the people of rhetorical theology is something well known. So Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah, said, my judgment with regard to the Ahlul Kalam, people of rhetorical theology, it's got theology based on rhetoric. My judgment with regard to the people of rhetorical theology is that they should be beaten with date palm fronds and with shoes, and that they should be paraded amongst the tribes, and that it should be said, this is the recompense of those who turn away from the book and the sunnah, and who go along with ilm al-kalam, and who go along with rhetorical theology. In the footnote they mention this report is brought by Al-Harawi in his book Dhamm al-Kalam. Then Sheikh Bazan said, so ilm al-Kalam, rhetorical theology, is blameworthy, and the Salaf used to warn against it very strongly, and that it may not be taken as a methodology to follow in matters of creed and belief, and that a person leaves aside the book and the sunnah. Like those people who say al-jism and al-jawhar and so on. He mentions some of the terms that they use, these people of rhetorical theology, which people who bring logic and rhetoric into matters of creed and belief. Said, those who say and talk about al-jism, the body, and al-jawhar, the essential nature of such and such, to the rest of it. And they say, affirming the attributes necessitates giving a body. And bodies each have mutual resemblance. So therefore they deny the names and attributes of Allah in order to flee away from giving him a body. And a body is that which is composed of an individual essential nature. And the individual essential nature is that which cannot be divided into parts. And the arad is a non-essential characteristic, which is that which can exist in something else. He's bringing the speech that they use, the terms they use, and he's telling you what these terms mean that they use. The people of rhetorical theology, they use in their books, and they talk about creed and belief, talk about Allah's attributes. They bring the like of these terms. He said they bring the like of al-jawhar, al-farad, this individual essential nature they talk about, he said, which is that which cannot be divided into parts. And al-arad, they say, is a non-essential characteristic, which is something that can exist in something else. Whereas al-jism, the body, is that which is established by itself. Then he said, so they base their aqidah, their creed and belief, upon al-jism, this thing, and upon al-arad, that which exists by itself, and upon al-arad, a non-essential characteristic, and other than that, from the false and futile ideas that they have. He said, and they leave aside the book and the sunnah. And you'll find in their books, you'll find all this type of terms here, and this means this and that, and this place, if you affirm this, it would mean. So Sheikh mentioned the terms that they use. He said, and other than that, from the tuwahimat al-batila, false and futile ideas that they have. He said, and they abandon the book and the sunnah. And this is clear misguidance, and Allah's refuge is sought. Sheikh said, the Muslim does not become occupied with knowledge of polemics, knowledge of how to argue, and leave aside occupation with knowledge of the book and the sunnah. No one does it except one whom Allah the Mighty Majestic has misguided. And the Salaf, the predecessors of this nation, used to proceed upon the book and the sunnah. Up until the books of the Byzantines, the Byzantines, up until their books came to be translated into Arabic in the time of Al-Ma'mun. And then Ilm al-Mantiq, then rhetoric came along, and Ilm al-Jadal, knowledge of polemics, argumentation, that came along then. So evil occurred in the nation from that time. And many of them came to base their creed and belief upon the knowledge of polemics, knowledge of debating and arguing, and upon mantiq, upon logic. And he said, he's saying, "Wal julusa ila ashab al kalam," and beware of sitting with the people of theological rhetoric, rhetorical theology. He said, beware of learning rhetorical theology and of looking into it, so that you are not put to trial with it and become amazed with it. And beware of sitting with the scholars of theological rhetoric, rhetorical theology, al-kalam. Rather sit with the people of hadith and the people of knowledge, and don't sit with the scholars of kalam, rhetorical theology, so that they do not have an effect upon you and put you off regarding knowledge of the book and the sunnah. So sitting with evil people has an effect upon the person who sits with them. And therefore he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, described and gave us similitude. For the righteous person whom you sit with, as being like the bearer of misk, perfume seller who has misk, carries misk. So he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, فَحَامِلُ الْمِسْكِ إِمَّا أَن يُحْذِيَكَ. So the bearer of musk, perfume, either he will give you some, the Shaykh said, meaning, he will give you some of his musk. وَإِمَّا أَن تَبْتَعَ مِنْهُ وَإِمَّا أَن تَجِدَ مِنْهُ رَيْحًا طَيِّبًا. Either he'll give you some of his perfume, or you can buy some of his perfume from him, or at the very least, you will find a pleasant smell from him. Sheikh Fawzan said, meaning, for as long as you sit with him. And then he gave a similitude for an evil sitting companion, as being like the blower of bellows, in the blacksmith who uses the bellows. إِمَّا أَن يُحْرِقَ ثِيَابَكَ وَإِمَّا أَن تَجِدَ مِنْهُ رَيْحًا خَبِيثًا. That he will either burn your clothing, or at the very least, you will smell a bad smell from him. In the footnote, they mentioned this is reported by Al-Bukhari, and the reference should be Hadith 2101, and Muslim as Hadith 2628 from a Hadith of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu. So this is the example of the good sitting companion and the evil sitting companion. And the ulama al-kalam, the scholars of rhetorical theology, are from evil sitting companions, so do not sit with them, because they will only corrupt your creed and belief, and they'll put you off with regard to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And likewise, on this, that's where Sheikh Fawzan ends explanation of this point, and then just briefly with regard to Sheikh Ahmad al-Najmi, rahimahullah, then he said, there occurs from the Salaf predecessors, rahimahumullah, a warning against kalam and against learning it and teaching it and looking into it. And then he defined, he said, and al-kalam, this thing is mentioned here, rhetorical theology, he said, it is ilm al-mantiq, it is knowledge of, or the science of logic, which is taken from the philosophers. And then he quotes the saying of Imam Shafi that we just heard, on my judgment with regard to the people of kalam, and then he mentions the continuation. And he mentions, well, in fact, then he said, after mentioning the saying of Imam Shafi, my judgment with regard to those who, the people of kalam, is that they should be beaten with date palm fronds and with shoes, and they should be paraded amongst the tribes, and it should be said, this is the punishment of those who abandon the book and the sunnah and turn instead to kalam, rhetorical theology. Then the Sheikh said, and how much those who occupied themselves with it came to regret it. Those who spent their lives in looking into the books, which are filled with kalam, logic, theological rhetoric and logic, they came to regret it at the point of death, and they showed remorse at that time, when remorse will not benefit. So some of them said, would that I were able to die upon the religion of the old women, the simple people, the old women, upon the correct and simple belief. But some of them said when they were dying, would that I were able to die upon the religion of the old women. He said, and likewise Ibn al-Salah and many of the scholars gave the fatwa, the ruling, that it is something forbidden, and forbidden to look into. And Allah is the one who grants success. And just finally, very quickly, the next point, 117, that the author, rahimahullah, he said, وَعَلَيْكَ بِالْآثَارِ وَأَهْلِ الْآثَارِ وَإِيَّاهُمْ فَاسْأَلْ وَمَعَهُمْ فَجْلِسْ وَمِنْهُمْ فَاقْتَبِسْ. He said, and adhere to the narrations, and to the people of the narrations. It is they whom you should ask, sit with, and take from. Sheikh Fawzan said, he's saying, وَعَلَيْكَ بِالْآثَارِ, and adhere to the narrations, meaning the ahadith. وَأَهْلِ الْآثَارِ, and the people of the narrations. He said, the meaning of عَلَيْكَ is ilzam. Adhere to this. Just as occurs, and he's saying, he the Most High, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا عَلَيْكُمْ أَنْفُسَكُمْ. Surah Al-Ma'idah, the fifth surah, ayah 105. The explanation, O you who believe, take care of your own selves. Shaykh said, meaning attend to that. He's saying, وَإِيَّاهُمْ فَاسْأَلُ, and them you should ask. He said, He the Most High said, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ ذِكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Surah An-Nahl, the 16th Surah, Ayah 43, the explanation. So ask the people of the reminder, if you do not know. Shaykh Fawzan said, mean the people of knowledge, from the people of the scripture, who are upright, and from the people of knowledge, from this nation. They are the ones who are to be asked. And he's saying, وَمَعَهُمْ فَجْلِسْ وَمِنْهُمْ فَقْتَبِسْ. With them you should sit, and from them you should take. He said, Allah the Majestic and Most High said, وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ الَّذِينَ يَخُوذُونَ فِي آيَاتِنَا فَأَعْرِضْ عَنْهُمْ حَتَّى يَخُوذُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرٍ وَإِمَّا يُنْسِيَنَكَ الشَّيْطَانُ فَلَا تَقْعُدْ بَعْدَ الذِّكْرَى مَعَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ Surah Al-An'am, the 6th Surah, Ayah 68, with the explanation. And when you see those people who speak falsely about the ayahs of our book, and who mock, then turn away from them, until they speak with other than that. And if Satan causes you to forget, then do not sit when you remember with those wrongdoing folk. He said, and he the perfect said, وَقَدْ نَزَّلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِذَا سَمِئْتُمْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ يُكْفَرُ بِهَا وَيُسْتَهْزَأُ بِهَا فَلَا تَقْعُدُوا مَعَهُمْ حَتَّى يَخُوذُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِ إِنَّكُمْ إِذًا مِثْلُهُمْ Surah An-Nisa, the fourth surah, Ayah 140, with the explanation, And your Lord sent down to you in the book, that if you hear disbelief in and mockery of the ayahs of Allah's book, then do not sit with them until they engage in different speech. Otherwise you would be just like them. Shaykh Fawzan said, so if you were to sit with them, then you would be just like them. So beware, a person should beware of sitting with the people of evil and with the scholars of misguidance. And he should adhere to sitting with the people of knowledge, the people of correct aqidah, creed and belief, and the people of sound methodology, manhaj. He should sit with them and take benefit from them. Alhamdulillah, sallallahu ala Muhammad. Subhanakallahu wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. And just a side point, then, next week's lesson, inshallah, from Monday onwards, and then I'll do it at 8 o'clock, inshallah.